Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we talk supplementation, the do's and don'ts, and which specific supplements we recommend. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keen, our Director of Training. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome back, everybody. Today, we're going to talk about supplements. This is kind of like religion, honestly, for some people. Some people are just like, no supplements. The research is really weird and hard. When you look at epidemiological studies on nutrition and supplementation, that it's dang near impossible to come up with like a very specific outcome. I'm on one end of the spectrum. I dealt with a lot of gut issues in the past, SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth.
Yeah,
there you go.
Nice.
I'm not the norm on that. And I will say supplementation can be kind of dangerous. So years ago on my own journey, just trying to fix some things, you go listen to a podcast or something, and then I just found myself taking like 40,000 supplements.
Yep. Whole cabinet.
Yep. That's dangerous. When I finally found a functional medicine doctor who did real blood work, real gut check work, et cetera, it was just the case. It's like half the things you're taking are doing worse for you. Half of them you don't need. So when we say supplementation, I know I just dove right into this one.
Fire up.
I'm just ready to go on this episode.
Fire up, Recchia.
When we say supplementation, it's just the idea that there are times, we talked about this in a prior episode, where you might need to supplement more of that thing because of what's going on in your body or because of your goals. Protein was a good example. It's hard to eat 180 grams of protein. It's easier if you eat a couple David bars or whatever the case may be. There are a few key supplements that can really help most people that are really well-researched, and those are the things I want to talk about today. Is that cool?
Yeah, I love it.
So number one on the list, right below protein, and I think if you're anywhere in public these days, this one's not going to surprise you, is creatine. Why don't you talk a little bit about creatine?
So creatine, everyone's sort of heard about it on all the podcasts, so just the basic bullet points. It's the most researched compound in nutritional science. And it goes way beyond just muscle growth, muscle building, strength, athletes, and things like that. There's also incredible cognitive benefits. Your body makes it, and it's in food, carnitine, carn, meat. So creatine is inside of meat. And so it's part of the creatine phosphagen system, the first system, the fight or flight right now energy system. Creatine is there, which is why when you supplement with creatine, you find yourself able to persist in muscular activities for longer and at a greater magnitude of contraction. So you get stronger and you can go for longer, basically. But it's also an ergogenic aid. It can fill out the muscles because creatine causes the muscles to soak in more water. And so kind of like glycogen, when you store glycogen, the glucose takes the water into the muscle cell with it, so you feel fuller. Same thing sort of happens with creatine. So that's why a lot of people freak out. They start taking creatine. I've gained 5 pounds. That's just water. Your muscles are filling out, but it can bloat up some people and cause some issues for some people. But it's completely safe. All ages, we make it ourselves. It's in the food we eat already. And so it's just keeping your tank topped up, so to speak, is kind of a no-brainer. It's inexpensive. It's very affordable. It's easy to add in to shakes or different things, or if you're like me, just straight to the dome. So that one's a no-brainer, inexpensive, couldn't hurt, and could help out for a lot of things.
Cool. Yeah, let's touch on those two things quickly. Like you mentioned, a lot of research around this, especially around cognition as you age. So I think the consensus these days is everybody should be on creatine if they can. Like you mentioned, there are some people that can't take it. It might cause them things like acne. Some people have some digestive issues like diarrhea, et cetera. I did hear a while back, somebody mentioned, you know, what we recommend is a minimum of 5 grams of creatine. So when you buy creatine, you usually get a little scoop and that scooper is 5 grams. And this is like pretty much the norm. Or if you buy pills and it's like take 6, it's because it's 5 grams. For some people over time, this doesn't even happen in the beginning, but it might, you just can't handle it. It's like loose stool. One of the hacks I heard a while back was split them up. So do 2.5 grams in the morning. I put mine in coffee, put 2.5 grams in the evening. There's your 5 grams and it avoids that issue. So
yeah,
you might try playing with it a little bit if you're like, oh, it kind of bothered me before you just really say no. Because if you listen to some of our earlier episodes on progressive overload, if this thing's going to help you with your cognition, if it's going to help you with your recovery, and if it's going to help you squeeze a little bit more out, mm-hmm. you're going to want it. So
yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, creatine, check. Let's talk about amino acids.
So there are, amino acids are the building blocks of muscle. They're the building blocks of protein. There's the BCAAs, there's EAs, there's essential amino acids, there's branch chain amino acids, the leucine, isoleucine, valine. And then there's, so the essential ones are the ones that your body does not make. Within the essential amino acids are the branch chain amino acids. So all of those are under the umbrella of essential amino acids. And then there's other amino acids that our bodies can make. You can still get them from your diet, but your body can synthesize them out of the other building blocks. So there's a new format of amino acids, a new way of preparing them, where there is a fermentation process that the amino acids undergo in the production, and this makes them far more bioavailable. They are, it's like a pre-digestion. So you don't have to spend the energy digesting and losing things in the process. They're pre-fermented, so they're pre-digested, and you take them, and there's a 99.9% absorption rate.
Whoa.
So the absorption rate of protein varies across protein sources. The protein in an egg, it's about 48% of that protein actually makes it to your muscles. Beef is a little bit less than that. Whey protein, a little bit less than that. But just because it says 100 grams of protein in the whey scooper, that doesn't mean you're actually absorbing 100 grams of protein. However, let's say this isn't the real math, but this is basic numbers for a basic man. Imagine you have 50 grams of whey protein. You're looking at the label, two scoops. Each scoop is 25 grams of protein. You eat the 50 grams, you might absorb 15 grams of that. But if you have just 15 grams of these amino acids that are the fermented process, 15 grams is 15 grams. So this small little amount, but you absorb all of it. And so that is an easy way to have a small amount that doesn't fill your stomach very much. And you can, there's different brands, and we're not going to name any brands, but any of the ones that say that 99.9% absorption, it's this process that they're all doing, because it's a more efficient intake of the protein. And so those are great for right when you wake up, right when you go to bed, throwing them in a shake, something like that, because like you mentioned before, it's tough to get 100 grams. We're going to do eat 3 pounds of chicken thighs every day, or right. I'm gonna 2 pounds of beef and then a bunch of eggs. Maybe some people do, but a lot of people are busy. A lot of people have other stuff going on. A lot of people have spaghetti dinner, and their wife's making spaghetti dinner, and I like her spaghetti dinner. How am I going to get my protein if I have this big plate of pasta? Maybe some other time you can have some of these amino acids. So it's just an easy way to very efficiently get your protein goals, like we spoke about previously.
Yeah, there's a specifically there. Well, let me talk about a study that we both heard a while back, and I will butcher it, so I won't give any names. But basically, they took this cohort of, I remember it was all females, and I think they were over the age of 60, definitely over the age of 50. So, and they gave one group something like 25 or 30 grams of protein and a protein shake. And then they gave the other group 6 grams of amino acids, these types of amino acids that you're talking about. Yeah. Both of them, to my understanding, had enough leucine, which you could talk about in a second.
Sure.
I think it was like 2.5 grams or something. So that you have to have a certain threshold of that specific amino acid, which is why most people say, okay, you need to eat 30 grams of protein when you eat chicken or something, because you've got to get enough leucine
right.
to help with muscle protein synthesis, how much you can use. But because there was enough in that larger quantity of protein and then that smaller quantity of amino acids, the outcomes were the same. So one of them is like a flavorless yeah. sip of water and you're getting all those mini-grams. The other one's this massive chocolatey shake. Same outcome.
Yeah. So leucine is one of the branch chain amino acids. And the research is showing more and more, seemingly, there is a threshold of leucine intake below which muscle protein synthesis will not be optimized, but above which muscle protein synthesis will be initiated and optimized. And so it seems that so long as you're getting this minimal amount, this threshold amount of leucine in whatever meal you're eating, you're going to build muscle. You're going to kick off the process of muscle protein synthesis, which then leads to positive nitrogen balance, which is how they measure, are you building muscle or are you not? If you Google or go ChatGPT or Grok or whatever, and you go natural sources of leucine, and you'll see all the eggs and all the different types of meat. And it'll say like per serving, 3.5 ounce serving, and you can find it. But some people, you can keep it simple and just eat steak and eggs, you're going to be fine. But if you felt like it, you could get one of these supplements that has this in it in the threshold amounts, and an actually very small amount in terms of grams of protein would still have that threshold amount of leucine. So you could kickstart the muscle protein synthesis process by ensuring you have that level of leucine and then eat your meal and then have your big chocolate shake or whatever. But you don't need all the tag along, everything else that goes with protein in supplements. They put a bunch of fillers and preservatives and extra and sugar and starch. And so what if you just want the pure, clean burning stuff? And so you would do this, these amino acids can really help get you to that leucine threshold without having to eat six eggs like me. You could just have a normal meal, but then have this beforehand and your bases are covered.
Which I eat six eggs every morning. So for today, I woke up in a hotel and didn't get my eggs, which is kind of a bummer.
Made a big seat.
Relax.
Thought I called ahead.
I know. Yeah. I just don't feel the same. Okay, so creatine, amino acids. I'll come back to the beginning of this. If you really are interested in other supplements, we're going to talk about one more in a moment. My recommendation would be find a good functional medicine doctor.
Yep.
And when I say functional medicine doctor, I'm talking about most of the time an MD or a nurse practitioner that's also trained in functional medicine. They've got both worlds, not someone that maybe is just a naturopath or somebody that's just an MD, for example. Functional doctors really want to do the right kind of internal testing across the spectrum to really get evidence-based what's going on in your body, and then we can decide what might need to be supplemented. But I tell you what, and I don't know if every functional doctor would agree with this, the ones I've worked with I think would. Everybody can take creatine. Everybody can take amino acids. And then another thing that's really, really important when it comes to results, recovery, longevity, we talked about it in an earlier episode, is sleep. So I think you and I are on the same page here. Like any supplementation outside of, you can speak to this probably, melatonin, that you take, that you find helps you get better, deeper, faster quality sleep, we're both for it.
Yeah. And sleep, if you think about it, each one of these things we've mentioned have been referring to step two in the exercise process. Step one's the workout, step two is the recovery, and then step three is the production of results. The sleep is probably the most important step two thing you want more of and better quality of. The protein is used for recovery and for step three, the building. So you're going to want that. But for sleep, I guess the only important thing is ideally, you're going to want to take a supplement that has all the precursors to melatonin, those raw materials out of which your brain can make its own melatonin. We're all familiar with when bodybuilders take supranormal amounts of testosterone they're injecting, and it's many, many times the normal production. What happens to their testes? They shrink and become non-functional because their body gets the message loud and clear, you don't need to produce any of this, so cut it out. And then it loses its ability to create new testosterone. Same thing happens in your brain when you nuke it with melatonin. A normal brain in a normal night makes something on the order of 300 micrograms, so grams, milligrams, micrograms, of melatonin, not all at once, but over the course of the night. And the ocular melatonin is built during the day outside, pools up in the retinal tract, and then gets released that night to aid in a bunch of different things. But it's characterized as the sleepy time hormone. It does way more than that, but it appears during that time of the circadian cycle. And so here you go, doing 10 times that amount or more. You've seen the melatonin pills, a gram, 2 grams.
5 grams,
like,
yeah.
Like a big, it's like a giant. So what happened to the bodybuilder's ability to produce his own testosterone? That's what's going to happen to your brain's ability to produce its own melatonin. And also, melatonin carries information about where you are in the solar cycle. So you can completely mess up the clocks in your brain and your body. Every cell you have has internal clocks. You completely mess that up. A giant spike, so not drawn out, a giant spike of melatonin many, many, many times more than the brain would normally be releasing. So yeah, you go unconscious. But if I knocked you over the head and knocked you unconscious, nobody would look at that and say, oh, look, he's sleeping. No, he was knocked out. So you might fall asleep. You might lose consciousness. But if we put you all the electrodes on your brain, you would not have the sleep architecture of the cycles of sleep, the 90-minute cycles. And so the way to avoid this scenario is to give your brain all the raw materials that it needs along the pathway to create melatonin. So there's a lot of different supplements these days that do it. The first one was Kirk Parsley's, Doc Parsley's sleep supplement, which was great, still is. And it's, you know, vitamin D, and it's some magnesium.
5-HTP.
5-HTP, tryptophan. And
GABA.
Yeah, some GABA. So there's other precursors, but it's everything. It's like delivering the lumber to the work site and then leaving. And then your brain does the building. So your brain never loses the ability to make its own melatonin. We're just providing the raw material. And that's a far better way to do it. There's also at Pure Bulk, there's Pure Sleep, Cliff High's supplement. Same idea. And some flavanols and different cofactors, and there's different ways to do it. But it's important that you maximize your sleep. You don't need the supplement to do it, but man, can it really help, especially when you're traveling, especially when it's a later night. These types of things, and sleep hygiene was for a different episode, but
yeah,
anything you could do to maximize the quality and quantity and timing of your sleep, you should invest in that. And so that those would be supplements that I would promote.
Add to the list here.
Yeah.
So we've got creatine, we've got amino acids, we've got a sleep supplement that we both agree as long as it's not melatonin.
Right.
I say try them, play with them. Doc Parsley's worked great for me. Right now, magnesium glycinate, sometimes that works great for people, and it's cheap and readily available. So bounce around if you need to. Play with some of these things. A lot of them are really affordable, really accessible, and they're not the melatonin piece. Have them in your toolbox. I will say, you know, we didn't want to talk too much about brands, but here's a quick plug. We've mentioned it before. Nice. Not all supplements are created equal. There's some stuff out there that's just been proven time and time again to not even be the supplement. It's coming from somewhere overseas, right, and it's a bunch of ground up bone or something like that. So you need quality supplements at The Perfect Workout. We have partnered with Thorne. If you go into our app,
those are good.
Actually, members get a discount on Thorne. Yeah. They are all kinds of studied and Mayo Clinic approved and all the athletics approved, et cetera. You want to pay for good supplementation if you're going to supplement.
Right. If you decide that's for you, it's kind of like buying a nice pair of boots. You can't afford the cheap ones. You'll just be buying new ones in a year or two. So there's certain things in which you should invest, a mattress, toothbrush, things you use every day. You should probably invest in that if you're going to be using it. So if you're going to go the supplement route, and something we've said has kind of piqued your curiosity, I can't think of any better sourced supplement company than Thorne. And a lot of stuff works, but the Thorne ones that I've tried are just nice. They're so pure. And I know for a fact where it came from.
Right.
And like the laboratories and the whole chain of custody of all the things. It's not just showing up in a box from overseas. And I hope that it doesn't just have sawdust in it as a filler, you know. So I love what Thorne's doing. And it's really cool. We're able to get our trainers and our members and our staff, like, that special access is really cool.
Yeah, I agree. It's a big blessing. And they've got some cool bundles, some cool sleep bundles, some cool recovery bundles that take a lot of these compounds that Jim was talking about, and they put them together in different ways that you can try them. So, okay, that is the episode on supplementation, creatine, amino acids, get some sleep.
Get some sleep.
And speaking of, maybe we should go do that. But anyways, that got weird.
Let's get out of here.
It's still early enough. Got, not you right. And I.
No, separate. In separate rooms. Yeah, never again. There we go.
I'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.